We're back and better than ever. All eyes are on the gridiron as teams are back on to start another football season. Hi, it's Lloyd Spence, and as always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. With a new and updated site and interface, even more odds, props, and contests, BetOnline continues to be the number one source for everything football. So, head to the website and use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your, I still can't believe it, 100% welcome bonus. That's double your initial deposit just for signing up. Look, don't forget to use promo code NFL100. It's BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. And tell them the Noisemaker sent you.
Popcorn World.
Charlie Ward, Kendrick Haskins, we are here to talk all things ACC, and we got a jam-packed show here tonight, ladies and gentlemen. We don't even have time to not start. Like, we got to get right into it. We're doing a preview and a review all in the same show, because tomorrow night at 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Central, technically, the basketball season starts. Like, it kicks off in a big, big way. So there's no time for us to wait. We got to jump right in and get you going with a basketball preview of some sort for the ACC. So what we've done here is we've compiled 10 questions. 10 questions that you're going to need to answer here going into the 2021-2022 ACC basketball season. So, gentlemen, are you ready? Hello to you. I want to give you a proper hello, but then we got to get moving.
Hello.
Charlie, are you ready? Are you ready to go?
I don't know, but we'll see.
We will see for sure. We will see for sure. All right. So let's start with question number one.
Hold on. Can I point out something real quick?
Absolutely.
You know, last week when we had Coach Buzz, Danny Buzzboom, Kelly on,
we did.
Charlie was in the theater room, but now it's just us, and we're back. We're back by the
way. Well, because it's just regular guys, and regular guys get a regular. You think that was a flex? Is that a flex? Was that a flex?
Last week it was.
Charlie makes a good point. What do I do? What do I do, Charlie?
Nothing. What is that? How are you going to go back like a whole week?
Charlie, I'm conflicted. I'm conflicted.
We haven't done it in a couple weeks.
Charlie, I'm going to let you live for now. But I'm sure by the end of this show, you'll be able to. They're saying flex in the chat. They're even saying
come on. How do people chime in?
The people have spoken.
They literally have flex emojis. You have your own emoji rolling now. So, all right. We'll let you live. Let's start with question number one. Let's see where this goes. First of all, there is a brand new freshman coming in at Duke, Paolo Banchero. By all practical purposes, he's the preseason All-American, and dare I say, the runaway favorite. They've already given him the preseason ACC Player of the Year and Freshman of the Year. So,
yeah,
it sounds like he's the second coming, but it's a lot of hype to live up to. Do y'all think he can do it?
I'm just curious to know if he can make it through the season.
Why are you saying that, Charlie?
The last top freshman game through they made through the season. am I wrong?
You are not wrong, sir. That is a fantastic observation.
And he hasn't made it through a season in his NBA career either.
Listen, gentlemen, you're not wrong.
I'm just saying we give him all the praise, which probably he deserves. I don't know. But let's let the man play. I mean, let's let him get out there first. I know he's had a good preseason. Like most teams who are dominant, they should look good. You know, play against the teams that they're playing. But I'm just curious to know, you know, like, I totally get it. And Duke is loaded up on these five stars. And there's some other schools that loaded up on a lot of top talent. But, man, the last time I checked, those schools can only go so far.
Charlie Ward, you on fire coming out the gate. You said you weren't ready, but the truth of the matter is you are ready. You are on fire. And because you are on fire already.
And that was a Charlie Ward humble flex.
You flexing already, bro. You own it. That was a good one. That was a good flex. Because I agree 100%. I got a chance to study some of the guys' film. And I'm going to tell you something. From an offensive perspective, he looks okay. Not dominant, but okay. But defense, it's not there. He's like any other freshman coming in to the season. There's a lot to be desired. So he's going to be okay. Like, I think he may be... Because, he's got a big body, so I get the hype. He's got an NBA, I wouldn't even say a full-on NBA body, but he has a big body. So that helps to the assessment. But I think it's a lot of media-driven stuff right now. And we'll see. It's definitely a we'll see situation.
Yeah, I agree. Let's let the man get a full semester in college.
Right.
Let him get the homecoming. Can he get the homecoming?
They're putting so much on this kid, and you know he's a freshman. I think a lot of what they're putting on him is because it is Coach K's last year, and
right.
You know that's a lot to put on a freshman. So I'm rooting for the kid. I want him to do great.
Yeah.
But they're putting a lot of pressure on this kid early on.
And he's decent player. If you've got some other pieces around him, he may turn into a great player. But I don't see carry a team on his back. I don't see that at all. I see a guy who can go strong right. He can dunk the basketball, a halfway decent shot from three when he's open. He's okay. He's got some decent skill that he can build on. We'll see. But, yeah.
We're going to find out a lot tomorrow night because it's not like they're opening with the cupcake. I mean,
no, they're coming out the gate.
Right.
Yeah, they're coming out the gate.
Kentucky, he's going to have to go up against an experienced big and Oscar Sheboy that just transferred to Kentucky from West Virginia, who is a load and is active. I mean, this is a kid whose goal is to get 20 rebounds in a game. And so we're going to find out real quick what this kid's all about.
Yes, I agree. Speaking of a lot on their plate, question number two. Can Hubert Davis revive North Carolina basketball? They're coming off a challenging year where it started out incredibly rocky, got better toward the end, then fizzled out in the tournament. They bring in Hubert Davis to be the second coming, and he comes out of the gate saying, I don't want two traditional bigs. I want to run. I want to fly. So he decides he's going to change the entire offense from what they've been doing for two decades. It could work, or it could be really bad for him in his first year. But what are your thoughts on Hubert Davis coming in and wanting to change North Carolina basketball to what he says is a more modern style offense?
I'm really interested to see what Charlie says.
No, I think he will probably have more of a NBA style. You know, a lot of pick and rolls, a lot of slip screens.
Yeah.
You know, driving kick type action, probably some one-on-one type things. You know, the traditional North Carolina was, you know, your secondary break and, mm-hmm. you know, everyone's in their spots and, you know, they run the same deal looking for, you know, bigs. And so he'll probably end up playing with one big most times, and then he may downsize to go since he has some, you know, some 6'8". I'm sure he'll downsize, you know, at the five spot, which will probably be something that he'll teeter with early with this. But he has some veteran guys coming back as well.
Yes.
He has some good young players, I think, I saw that he recruited in that will probably – but he'll probably go to 8 or 9-man rotation. That's more of the NBA-type style, as well as, you know, having a shorter rotation to be able to, you know, get the most out of the guys on the floor.
I'm hearing a lot of talk, Charlie, that North Carolina goes as Caleb Love develops. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, he was a pretty good player last year. Mm-hmm. He was just a little inconsistent, I thought, you know, mm-hmm. in some games. But hopefully with the year of maturity, and like I said, you know, I think he'll play more. And he'll probably get more opportunities to, I wouldn't say make mistakes, but, you know, be on the floor to make plays. But he is definitely a talent, for sure.
Yeah, my concern is, like, I totally agree with Charlie. You're going to see a more NBA-style offense, so which leads me to, you know, think about the guards, because, you know, the NBA is so guard-dominant. Can the backcourt hold up? Can they hold up for the whole season playing that way?
Right. It's going to be interesting to see. I'm not high on Caleb Love. I don't not like him, but I think there's a very – his game is not complicated. He gets to a spot, he shoots. He has not been like the greatest playmaker. And that to me might be the difference between what, like, who's going to be the playmaker for their
right.
squad.
That's my question.
That's going to be the question that I have.
Necessarily, I mean, it could be from the wing. I mean, the NBA is predicated a lot.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It could be somebody from the wing, but I just wonder who is going to be the playmaker on that team.
Yeah. Well, speaking of – go ahead, Charlie. Go ahead.
I'm sure on defense they'll probably switch more.
Yeah, yeah.
Than what they've done in the past, since they'll probably be like size. And, you know, you see a lot of teams switching now, even with the bigs onto guards. And, you know, they're forcing them to, you know, play one-on-one basketball. And that's what switching does, and that's what switching wants you to do. Is to keep the ball from moving and people moving to where you hold the ball, trying to search out that best matchup. But, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing how Hubert does. I know it's his first year. I know he has some guys that were there last year on the staff and some new guys. So I'll be interested to see how they play.
That's your old Knicks buddy, right? You're the old Knicks teammate?
Yes, he was with we were on the same team.
that's why I wanted to hear what you thought about it, because I knew that you know you all were teammates, so I wanted to hear what you thought about it.
All right,
I'm sure shooters on there, and they're probably tough. Hubert he was probably, he kind of reminds me, he's very similar to me in a lot of ways. Quiet, reserved, but he also has an active voice if things don't go well.
Okay. All right.
Think they're going to lean on Leaky Black? Because, I mean, he's the veteran on the team.
Yeah.
Can they depend on him to be that leader on the team? I'm hoping he can be, because I've liked his game since he's been there, but he's a little bit inconsistent. He's going to have to find some consistency this year.
Well, I'm sure he's challenged all of them. You know, if they're going to be successful, those veteran guys definitely going to have to be the leaders.
All right. Speaking of finding a leader and finding scoring, Louisville has changed their style. They've decided – no longer are we going to walk the ball up and pass for 15 minutes and then shoot the ball. We're going to bring in an old new style. We're going to run up and down the floor, quick shooting, quick scoring, play press defense. We're going to give it to you for 40 minutes. And so we'll see if that works, if they can go back to that style that they had before, because that's what they were asked to do. But then also to start the season, there is a 6-game suspension of the coach, Chris Mack. And they won't feel that until the ACC Big Ten Challenge, I think, where they play Mississippi State. I think that's like December 1st or something like that. And then there's another one right after that against Michigan State, I believe.
He comes back. His first game back is at Michigan State.
Is at Michigan State. Okay. So what do you think about Louisville's changes? I'm going to turn to you, Kendrick, to start for that one. What are your thoughts about the transfers? And we'll get into a little bit of that more as well. But what do you think about Louisville and their old new style, I guess?
It's been more entertaining to watch, I'll be quite honest with you. You know me, last year I was one of the main ones wondering why do they walk the ball up the floor all the time. It was nerve-wracking when they were playing teams like Virginia and Duke. Than when they played Duke in the ACC tournament. Mm-hmm. And his defense, and I will back off what I was saying last year a little bit. I mean, Carleek and David Johnson had to be on the floor all 40 minutes of the game, so you can only run so much when you only have two guards. But now they've added a lot of depth. The one who stood out to me the most, and he came off the bench in the exhibition games, was the Miami transfer, Matt Cross. He can shoot it. And he came in with the reputation of being a shooter, so we knew he could shoot. But he's tough. He's a lot tougher than I remembered him. And he'll go to the rack. If you close out on him, he will blow by you. And he's been impressive so far. Having Malik back is going to be good, because especially for a kid like Jalen Withers, who was forced to play the five a lot last year, way out of position. This kid's like 6'7". He's playing the five last year. So he's back in his natural position as a stretch four. They've added shooting. I mean, they've got a chance. They've got a chance to be a sleeper team in the ACC. I'm not calling them to win it, but they're going to be super competitive. And so far, because, you know, you always hear about coaches like, oh, we're going to change how we play, blah, blah, blah. But then you get to the lights come on and it's back to the same old stuff. But from the first two exhibition games that I've watched, they have played a lot different. And if they have a shot early, they will take it early. If they can get out and run, they will get out and run. And so I think you're going to see that a lot with Louisville this year. And I'm most impressed, too, at the three position with Matt Cross, Samuel Williamson, and Drake Davis. You have three players right there who have three different styles of play, but they can all make the jumper at the same time. Samuel Williamson is more of a slasher. Dre Davis can slash, too. He's a little bit long, has more length. And then, of course, Matt Cross, who's a deadly three-point shooter. So they were impressive in their first two exhibition games. Granted, you know, they're exhibition games, but you can see the difference in the way they play.
Okay, all right. Your thoughts, Charlie Ward?
Kendrick did well.
Thanks.
Kendrick did well. I like that in the song. He did do well. I tell you what I'm most interested in seeing. I'm interested in seeing the Samuel Williamson kid, and I'm definitely interested in seeing the L. Ellis kid. Wasn't the Ellis kid like the number one JUCO or something like that?
Number one JUCO transfer coming in.
Yeah.
They also got another big in Sidney Curry, who came from Logan College, who's going to be impressive. He's just a wide load, and he's sneaky athletic because he's so big. You don't anticipate him being that athletic. But he had a couple good up and under moves and runs the court pretty good for a big man. So he's going to be one to watch too.
Is any kin to any other Currys in the NBA currently playing right now?
You take one look at him and you know he is not.
He is not. Okay. I think I saw him shoot a free throw. He's a huge kid.
Yeah, he's a huge kid. He's a whole lot of man.
He's a whole lot of man. All right. Well, let's get back in Charlie Ward's wheelhouse. Florida State, are they still the best team in the ACC that we don't talk about? Which is, I know that's how you like it. That we're not talking about it. But are they still the best team in the ACC that we don't talk about?
Well, you know, we lost a lot of guys last year. A lot of scoring. However, the preseason game that I did see, they have some young freshmen that were pretty impressive in the sense that, you know, they're still young, but they had great energy and great skill. This kid, Worley, he's about 6'4", point guard, handles the ball well, plays well, around the basket. Defensively, he gets after it. Then his kid, Matthews, Cleveland Matthew, I think is his name. Mm-hmm. He's another freshman. And those two guys have definitely brought great energy. And, of course, they're athletic. That's what Coach Ham, that's what they recruit. Seems like you have to be a certain size in order for them to recruit you. But, you know, and then you have your veterans. You know, Anthony Polite. The new guy on the block is Caleb Mills, the transfer from the University of Houston. It'd be interesting to see how he handles Coach Ham and his style of play. Because the first game I saw, he was too cool for school in a sense. And defensively, you know, he was kind of, you know, just meandering around, didn't have the type of energy I know Coach Ham was always looking for. But he can score. When it comes down to putting the ball in the basket and getting shots for yourself, he can definitely do that and make plays for others. So it'd be interesting to see how he adjusts to, you know, playing hard and then going to sit down. You know, sometimes people have some of the players have a difficult time.
Yeah.
But I mean, they got the Wilkes kid who's a shooter. They're all kind of, you know, the Evans kid who's a quality point guard.
Raekwon
Evans,
the chef.
I love that name, Raekwon.
He's got to get that. He has to be the chef. He has to be the chef.
That's how it is. I'm really curious to see how Cameron Fletcher.
Yeah, I was just going to ask that because, you know, he has some maturity issues at Kentucky, which is part of the reason why he's not at Kentucky anymore. How's he fitting? Have you heard how he's fitting in down there with Coach Ham?
No, I haven't heard lately. The preseason game I went to, he did not play. Michael Polite. So I'm not sure if they were both injured. I know not Michael. Michael.
Anthony. Anthony. Yeah.
Anthony. Michael's dad. That's who I played with. But Anthony played the second game. So he came back, and I think he got his feet wet before they start, you know, here, I think, on Wednesday.
Has Cameron not played at all, period?
I don't know about the second game.
Oh, wow.
I'm not sure about the second game. But I'm looking forward because the guys that they were playing the first game that I went to, I'm not sure where he fits in. Like, I guess they were going to play him in some of those young players' minutes that were playing really, really hard and well.
Yeah.
So it'd be interesting to see, like, to, you know, if he's caught on board because Coach Ham, he doesn't care. I mean, he'll sit you on the bench if you.
Well, that's what. Not to cut you off, but that's where I was curious because of what you said earlier about the other player. That definitely applies to Cameron Fletcher because I don't know if he, when he chose Florida State, I was like, really? That seems like not a good fit at all. Like, it doesn't feel like that's the right team for you because You need to be somewhere where somebody's going to maybe feature you. At least that's the energy and the attitude that he seems to bring. That's not going to happen in Florida State. They're going to ask you to play a role. Whether you're a star or not, you're going to be a star in your role. And that doesn't feel like what he wants to do. So when he chose Florida State, I was like, well, this will be interesting to see if this experiment works or not.
I'm looking up the box score now. He didn't play in the first game. You say he didn't play in the second game either, Charles?
He may not have, yeah.
But I do know.
He played in the second game. Second game, he had a pretty good game. He was 4-for-6 from the field, had 7 okay. rebounds, 11 points.
That's good.
4 steals. So, apparently he was active. So.
Okay, that's good. That sounds good.
So, the one thing I know about Florida State is they're going to play hard.
Right.
And they're going to play hard, and they're going to play like 10 dudes.
Yes.
Right. So, that's a given.
Depth is not going to be an issue.
No.
So, now, will you be a part of the 10 is the question.
Yeah.
That's the question. All right.
He's got the kind of skills, though. He's got a skill set that if he can mature a little bit, he could be
absolutely
a good player. And I think he'd be a good player. It might be a great fit for him because Coach Ham's not going to take any BS off of him.
That's true.
Well, that's really where I was going. It's either going to be one or the other. Either he's going to acquiesce and fit into the culture, or he's going to find himself on the bench, and it's going to be a long 2 years.
I'm rooting for him.
I am too.
Now the good thing about it is, if he decides to step outside the bounds, the players, the culture, and with the basketball team, is their leadership will bring him back in.
I agree.
Coaches will do their part as well, but I think they have strong leadership to be able to help them navigate through those rocky waters, because everyone else is kind of on board with what's going on.
Charlie, are you in trouble?
Is there a Wolverine in your house?
I'm very concerned for you right now. Blink if you are in trouble, Charlie. Just let us know.
She's behind the gate.
Okay. Oh, she's not happy right now.
No, she's not happy.
I got you. All right. Speaking of transfers, what team will benefit you guys the most from their transfers?
Hey, just speaking from what I've seen in person, Louisville stands out to me. I mean, most of the team is transfers, so they should benefit.
I think it's three teams. I think it's the two of them that we've mentioned, Florida State and Louisville. But I'm going to throw another name in. It feels like Syracuse is betting on that as well.
They had to.
They had no choice, right. They had no choice.
They're like, Louisville in the same boat.
They're like, listen, we got to get in this portal and make something work. So they put their whole season on transfers and Boeheims. Buddy and Jimmy.
They got another Boeheim?
Yes, Jimmy Boeheim coming from Cornell. He transferred in from Cornell. So,
and Buddy's still there?
Buddy's still there.
He's coming back.
Huh?
I'm a big fan of Buddy.
I like Buddy. I like Buddy. I think Buddy's going to have a pretty good season. But they are definitely betting on the transfer portal like no other team.
Jim Boeheim was able to produce a son who fits exactly the type of player he recruits.
That's a no-brainer.
His own can shoot.
he's probably been breeding this kid from day one.
Shout out to Jim.
As soon as the kid can walk, he's like, now listen, this is how you beat a zone. No. There you go. Who is the team nobody's talking about in the ACC that we're going to find out is actually pretty stinking good?
I think you could put Florida State in there, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I think we're losing all of the score, a lot of the scoring from last year, and people are not really taking the new guys, kind of for granted. So they'll probably, again, fly underneath the radar. But we, like I say, we do know one thing. They're going to play hard. They're going to play a certain way. And so there may, you know, maybe some things they have to work out early on. But I do believe by the time it comes down to it, they'll be strong. But, yeah, I like people talking about, you know, the Dukes, the Carolinas. I don't know.
Virginia Tech's in that conversation, too. Virginia
Tech's in that conversation, for sure.
I love them talking about them. Just let us be the South South.
I want to throw another team in there.
That's being number 19 in the country, Charlie. You're not exactly flying under the radar.
They're never flying under the radar. Let Charlie tell that they are. I'm going to throw another name in there as well because this happens every year, and that's Virginia. Every year we say, oh, Virginia, they've lost 74% of their scoring, and they lost their top line guys, and, you know, and all they do is reload the defense, spend the first half of the season honing that defense, beating you 54-51, and then by the end of the season, they're a contender. That's just what they do. So I have no reason to think that the coach is not Tony Bennett's not going to be, you know, rinse and repeat. So I'm going to throw Virginia in there as well. They're going to win a lot of games they're not supposed to because that team is probably haven't touched the basketball all offseason. And so that's what I mean. Listen, the one thing when you watch Virginia, you go, my God, how does he get them to move on a string and defensively so early in the season? But they do. They play phenomenal defense, and they're gonna be good again because that's what they are. So I'm gonna throw Virginia's hat into the ring. So
I'm with you. They're scary on defense, but just as scary as they are on defense, they scare you cheering for them on offense.
Oh, yeah. The offense won't come around until the end of January. That's usually how it works.
The question is, you know, will they be able to outscore? Because you got to, in this day and age, you got to be able to score the basketball consistently. Mm-hmm. And so I know the defense, of course, you kind of hang your hat, but what they found was we got to start scoring the basketball if we're going to, you know, start being consistent or beating these teams. Because everyone now is going to, you know, not say a fast-paced type deal, but, you know, people are putting scorers on the floor, guys that can shoot, dribble drive, and make plays for others. And so, you know, it's now where you can hang your hat on your defense, but you also got to have some scoring on the floor if you're – but then again –
And I kind of think that's the way Chris Mack structured his roster was to go at teams like Virginia because they've got shooting at every position right now. Right. Even at the five, I mean, Sidney Curry's not stepping out shooting threes, but Malik Williams can step out and hit that three. Jalen Withers can hit the three. And I already mentioned the other three. So they kind of built, I think, and I think he had that in, had Virginia in mind when he constructed this roster.
I do want to ask you a question, Kendrick, because you may or may not be familiar with this player, Armaan Franklin. I know he transferred from Indiana to Virginia, and I'm hearing a lot of talk about him being one of the focal points of this new Virginia, the offensive side of the ball. Tell me about Armaan Franklin.
He's a scorer. He can shoot. He was one of those players that – he's another one of those guys that you look at IU is like, how is this team losing? Because Armaan Franklin is a player. He is good. I mean, look at him. I mean, the players that have left out of Indiana have played really well. So
yeah,
Armaan Franklin is a heck of a player. He's going to be a heck of an addition to them. He's not as strong defensively as
he will be.
Anticipate a Virginia player.
He will be.
He's definitely going to give them an offensive punch because he can score. He can get to the basket. He can be a playmaker on that team.
He'll be fine on defense. I'm not worried about that. Tony will get him. Tony will get him out. We did kind of touch this a little bit. We talked about that he's going to be out. I don't know if we actually discussed. I think they'll be fine, Marco. And Chris comes back just in time for them to address the two ACC Big Ten games that they have. So I think they'll be fine. I honestly think they're going to be a pretty good team this year.
They're going to miss them when they go to the Bahamas because they open against Mississippi State and then they'll play either Maryland or Richmond.
Right.
So they'll miss them there. But like when they take on Southern on Tuesday, Furman, Navy, Detroit, Mercy,
they should be fine. Okay. Yeah, they should be fine. okay. I'm just saying they should be fine. All right.
And Mike McGee's has been with him the whole time, so he's going to fill in as the head coach, and I think he'll be fine.
Yeah. Who's your ACC Player of the Year? Who you banking on this year, guys?
I mean, you look at what everybody's saying, and it's already a done deal.
I know they're trying to hand it to Paolo Bacalli. And maybe he is that good. Maybe he is the new Zion Williamson. We'll see. I'm going to go a different route, though. Okay. I'm thinking because he's going to have the ball in his hands a lot, I'm going to throw out the name Buddy Boeheim.
That's a good one.
Yeah, I think he's going to be shooting it quite a bit. So I think he's going to definitely be in the mix. Because of Louisville's new offensive style, it's hard to call, and even Florida State's new style. It's going to be hard to call any of those players.
Yeah.
Somebody will emerge from those teams as a dominant player.
There's going to be so many newcomers this year.
Yeah, too many newcomers.
Buddy Boeheim, someone who's been in the system, has been around for a little bit. I like your call for Buddy Boeheim.
Yeah, I'm thinking Buddy's got a great chance to sneak in there and get that. Coach of the year, is it Coach K's by default? Because if he can just get them a 20 win season, are they just gonna say, take this and happy trails?
I mean, look out for Josh Pastner down at Georgia Tech. I mean,
Josh had a good season last year, they won the thing
under the radar that can jump up and bite some people this season, too.
Agreed.
Did they bring in some transfers? Because they lost some of their best players from last year.
They did. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, sir, that they did. I don't know if anybody didn't hit the transfer portal.
everybody got some.
Yeah, I don't know if you can survive without hitting the portal this year. It's like going to the mall. Like, what do we need? Yeah, brought in a kid from Mississippi State, Devion Smith. They didn't hit it too hard. That's the biggest name they brought in was Devion Smith. So
Pastor is just one guy that you've seen his growth as a coach over the years.
Yeah.
And you know, so I'm starting to get more faith in him just as a coach. And like he can take some he's one of those guys he can work with the talent that he has. He's not stuck to this is my system, we do it my way. He seems like he's willing to adjust to the talent that he has.
Keep your eye on a kid, Michael DeVoe.
Ronnie's son.
Bill DeVoe.
Yes. He'll be the one that'll probably be leading the charge. For that team, for sure. Somebody asked who had better season, Duke or Kentucky. Who knows? Didn't they struggle the other night, Kentucky?
Yeah, when a team makes 11 three-pointers in the first half.
I'm going to tell you something, and I know this is an ACC show, but I'll throw this out because it applies to Duke as well. I really hate the whole – bring in five new freshmen every year thing. I hate it because
That's not really Kentucky this year.
That's not Kentucky this year, but the reload.
Next year will be.
Yeah, I'm just not a fan of that. That's a hard way to go. And when you look at them play, and even Duke in their preseason game, trying to mix all that in together and make a bunch of freshmen step up and try to understand college basketball overnight, that's a hard way to coach.
I mean, there's only a certain few, a handful of guys that can do it. I mean, Cal Perry's used to it. But, I mean, just to talk about Kentucky just a little bit, this is the most experienced team they've had coming back since Cal's been there.
In a long time.
You got Toppin, Jacob Toppin coming back, and then you bring in Georgia transfer Sevier Wheeler, and then I was talking about Sheboy earlier. He transferred in from West Virginia. You got Keon Brooks, who's a returning junior, so they've got a lot of experience coming back. So I think this is going to be a lot better year for Kentucky. I'm leaning towards Kentucky maybe having a better season than Duke, but again, I mean, for once, the SEC is tough in basketball this year.
Yeah, he's going to be a monster. It's going to be a monster.
It's not going to be the normal walk in the park.
No. So, you got to bring it this year. Yeah, you got to bring it. Who's going to be in the championship game, fellas? Well, your knee-jerk reaction tonight.
Who's Florida State playing in the championship?
Probably? Yeah.
I like what you're doing there.
Let me see who will be playing against my Seminoles.
There you go. I don't think it's unreasonable to say that if everybody, if they can both get the max out of their transfers, because to me, the experience is where it's going to be the difference this year. It's not unreasonable to think that we might be looking at a Louisville Florida State ACC championship game.
I can't pick Louisville just because they haven't made it to the ACC championship.
Listen,
no matter who the coach has been,
when your back is against the wall and they've made you change your entire style because you're being suspended for the first six games, which means you're already on a short leash. And by the way, this might be the season you have before you go on suspension next year. So, a lot riding on this season for one Chris Mack. So, I'm not going to count them out.
I lean towards, you know, I think I'm going Duke and Virginia.
Okay. Wow. What a reach there, Kendrick.
I mean, nobody's really talking about Virginia. Nobody's talking about Virginia.
On this now, I'm going to go with Syracuse and Florida State.
That is out there. Okay.
Why am I choosing Syracuse?
Because of the Boeheim boys.
Because every year we sit here and talk about what Syracuse don't have, and they always end up in the championship.
that is very true.
Semifinals. They make a run in the tournament.
Right. They'll lose games they have no business losing during the regular season.
Elite Eight, was it last year? Was it Elite Eight?
Yeah, they always find a way. We say on the bubble and the bubble has burst and thing you know somebody blew the bubble back up.
Yeah. They keep what's that black tape that everybody keeps around for fixing everything? Flex tape, they keep unlimited supply of flex tape for bubble burst. ACC champions, based on you guys' selection.
I'm going to say Duke's going to make one run for Coach K.
One for Coach K, okay.
I'm going to say Florida State.
Shocker there. Did not see that coming at all.
If my team wasn't good, then I wouldn't choose them. But they do have a chance.
I think desperation creates opportunity, so I'm going to go Louisville. Yeah. How many of these teams are going to make the tournament? We got a bonus question.
Well, we didn't talk about like Boston College. What are they?
Right. Well, this
Boston College is picked to finish last in the conference.
Yeah, there's not a lot to talk about. Not a lot. I'm going to say they're going to run about six of them out there.
I think six, maybe seven.
Yeah, I think possible. Notre Dame might be the bubble-ish team out there. We'll see what they do, but I'm gonna say six strong.
Notre Dame's in the ACC
when they want to be. they're in
the ACC. As long as the football's not involved.
Right, as long as football's not involved. Yeah.
Come on, man.
Yeah. Oh wow, Marco's saying seven. So he's putting well, you know what?
Maybe Virginia.
I forgot about Syracuse. I may have to go six, seven.
You got to get Syracuse in there.
I got to get Syracuse in there. They'll figure out a way to deal with it.
Even if they're
9-7 in conference plays.
But they're going to the Elite Eight no matter what.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's recap. So let me start off by doing this. And I advertise this, and I will have to acquiesce just a little bit. Here we go.
Been waiting all weekend for this.
Sam Howell. We've had some rough days, you and I. And I haven't always supported you like I should. Even Saturday, I counted you out. I did. I'll admit it. But I'll say this to you, sir. I'm willing to give you one more chance. That's the best I can do.
That's not an apology.
I'm not that. The advertiser said Willie apologized.
I'm not talking about the advertiser. I'm talking about the group text.
I apologize for not believing in you last week. That's the best I can do, Sam. You don't just take the guy back or the girl back just off the one thing, good thing they did.
Also, now you need them.
Now I need what?
Now you need them.
What we're gonna do is we're gonna go out to dinner and this week and talk about it. And if you can convince me this week, then maybe I'll take him all the way back. I don't know.
Oh, who they play this week?
But listen, shout out to Sam Howell. I mean, I thought they were dead in the water. I really did.
They were playing basketball on the football field.
They were playing this.
They sure were.
Clearly, these defenses are terrible. I mean, they are absolutely horrible. When you put up 113 points between the two of you, your defenses are terrible. But my God, they can score at will.
Yeah.
Boston College did what Boston College does, what G-Tech does, what they do. Like you don't know what to believe.
That I didn't want to game.
Support.
The quarterback came back. They got hurt. He was
And that's why they were able to turn it on. Pitt dominated Duke, even though they let him put 29 points up, which is weird. But they put up 54, so that made up the difference. Georgia Tech did what Georgia Tech does. You know they.
But it was a close game.
Stopped anybody.
It was a close game, though.
It was a close game, but Miami's riding a hot streak right now. Probably saved Coach Diaz's job.
Miami found the quarterback.
I will admit something to you, Charlie Ward.
What's that?
I was wildly disappointed in this game. I don't know how NC State keeps pulling these games out of the end. Because teams have them on the ropes, and they look like, okay, they're going down this week. And then somehow somebody makes a mistake, and I don't know. But I turned over to the game late, so I have to ask you a question, Charlie. What happened to Jordan?
Well, he was sick, I do believe. We had quite a few guys out, not for the game.
Okay.
During the week, due to illness.
Not COVID related.
Not COVID related, but flu. A lot of just not on the team, but here in town, we are having this rampant. I'm sure it's all over the place where people are having the flu and flu-like symptoms and what have you. So he was out, I do believe, for that reason. But it really came down to, I mean, two of their touchdowns, we missed tackles for, So overall, I mean, offensively, we missed some opportunities to stay on the field, you know, just not making tough catches. You know, McKenzie missed an easy throw to Cameron McDonald in the flat with no pressure on either guy. No pressure on him or Cam on the out route to keep the chains moving when we needed a drive. So it's just those types of things, you know, that – you only score 14 points. They scored 0 points in the first half. That was an issue as well. But defensively, you know, I think we played well enough to win the game, minus those. I mean, guy played it well. The screen, the last touchdown they scored, it was 3rd and 10. They ran a screen, and we had a guy out there. But the only issue was he was the only guy, and he couldn't make the tackle.
He made the tackle, yeah.
Nobody else could either. And so it's just those types of things. But, you know, it's those were the ones that were magnified because they allowed him to score off of those just missed tackles. But defensively, I thought they played well enough to win the game. Offensively, of course, they didn't play well enough to win, but they did some good things. Then again, here we go. I mean, you know, it's a 14-point game, but it really should have been closer than that. You know, when you start looking at all the different things, but that's the story of FSU football.
Yeah.
At this point. And so hopefully we can get it turned around for this rivalry game this weekend.
Yeah.
Playing Miami's on a hot streak, which I'm so happy for.
we can tell.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm happy that they're on a streak.
Oh, my goodness.
So that we can, you know, come in and just play spoiler.
Yeah, well, it's going to be interesting to see. Somebody in the chat asks, is Clemson's run over? Technically, Clemson's run's not over this year because they're still in the mix to win or at least get to the ACC championship game despite not playing great and despite not being great. They should have lost to Louisville, quite honestly. And a healthy Malik, I think, wins that game. I really believe they would have won that game this weekend. But, you know what they say about ifs and buts.
Right. Right. They've lost so many heartbreakers in so many different ways at this point. I mean, this time it's Malik. I mean, they're rolling. Malik gets hurt because even on that drive, they were going down the field to score, and they ended up going for a field goal because Malik got hurt.
Yeah.
And so it's just, I mean, it's got to be frustrating in that locker room because all their games, with the exception of Ole Miss, have been, you know, a possession here or there, and they win the game. So, and you're talking about a totally different season.
And so, Florida State and Louisville are having the exact same season.
And Syracuse.
I mean, think about it. A misplay here, a misplay there.
Syracuse, too.
Yeah, Syracuse, too. It's amazing how the game comes down to, like they say, inches or moments. I mean, it's just the same thing. But
because they were on the goal line, like literally on the goal line. And for first and goal or whatever it was. And they
first and goal on the two.
Like, they couldn't score.
Yeah, you should have a first and goal play.
Yeah, they tried to know, but Clemson just blew that up. That was the Malik, you know, Malik fake and pulled a tight end around or blocked somebody, and they just blew that up.
Yeah.
And they tried something else, and they blew that up. And then they got down to the last play where they rolled him out, and whenever you try to constrict the field on a rollout, hoping that you can get them on the edge, if it's not open immediately, I mean, it's practically, you know, trying to make something happen with all of those people on one side, like in this small area. Right. And, you know, he tried to cut and fell, and that was the end. So they didn't even get a chance. They didn't get a chance to get the ball into the end zone. At least you try to throw it up and somebody make a miraculous play or something, but they didn't even get that.
Yeah,
that's one of the things Coach said after the game. Coach Satterfield said after the game, it's like, you have to try to fit that ball in there at that point. And, you know, let somebody make a play. But Malik's ankle's hurt. Maybe he probably gave out on him on that play because he just fell down. It wasn't like he was tackled. He just fell down.
Right.
His ankle may have given out on him. But, yeah, you have to – on fourth and goal on the 2-yard line at the end of the game, you've got to try to throw the ball at that
point. Yeah, throw it up and see what happens. Yeah, what do you got to lose? Game's over one way or another. So
they've got a good tight end that, you know, in Marshawn Ford, it seems like they could have tried to run. I mean, they may have tried to run something for him I'm down there on the field. I can't tell what's going on in the field. I'm focused on the league. So,
yeah. Well, the good news is I went 4-2 this week.
Okay.
Congrats.
Kendrick went 4-2. Charlie went 3-3.
I was the lone person to pick Carolina to beat Wake Forest.
That is true. That is true.
Because I believe in you, Sam.
But I was the lone person to pick NC State. Because I believed in them. And I needed to separate myself from you guys.
A broke clock is right twice a day.
That's how I feel about your Sam Howell pick.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to be giving Sam a chance. I apologize. So on the season, Charlie's 50-30. Kendrick is 52-28. And I am 47-35, but making a feverish comeback.
Not feverish if we had the same record.
Well, we don't have the same record. I'm making a comeback.
If we both went 4-2, you're not really making up ground.
They have a question for you, Charlie. Is there a chance that you will be a college football or basketball head coach?
I can tell you, it ain't gonna be football.
Yeah, you don't want no part of that one for some reason.
No more football for me. I enjoy watching it, and I enjoy helping my fellow football coaches watch film and talk about game plan and players. I enjoy that so much at Florida State University School.
What about basketball, though?
I enjoy coaching my kids. They're such coachable kids, lovable family. I have a dinner for them planned on Wednesday night so we can kick off our fundraiser. And I'm enjoying where I am.
Awesome. All right, head coach.
I know Charlie well enough to know that that's not just coach speak. I mean, Charlie is serious, even though we're laughing at him, but he is serious.
No, he's listening. That was a real answer. That was not hyperbole. That was a real answer. All right, you guys ready to make some picks this week?
Yes, sir.
All right. We got coming out the gate, North Carolina and Pitt. Charlie, what you got?
I'm going Pitt at home because Pitt's offense, the reason North Carolina probably came back is because they were at home.
Okay. So you're going Pitt.
I don't know if that defense can hold up on the road.
I'm going Pitt as well, and I think the score is going to be 65-60. They might score more in that game than they will when they meet in basketball this year.
I did tell Sam I would take him out to dinner, didn't I?
you're about to not answer the phone when he calls. You're going to ghost him. I see it on your face.
You're right. I am ghosting him. Give me Pitt. Right. All right. UConn and Clemson. Who you got?
Come on now.
I think I'm going to go with Clemson.
Clemson, a 40.5 favorite.
I'm not going to pick them to cover.
That seems like a lot, doesn't it?
Clifford hasn't scored 40 points all season.
Yeah, that seems like a lot. I feel like I'm being golden.
UConn is bad, but I'm not going to pick them to score 40 points.
This may be their time to get healthy. This at the end of the year, and they're starting
to. DJ got hurt in the Louisville game. If you watched that touchdown run he had, I mean we could have ran on that one. It was the slowest touchdown run I've seen.
Yeah.
He did get hurt. And the other kid can't throw.
No, he cannot. Their offense is woo. He leaves a lot of people behind. Yeah. Syracuse and Louisville.
This is a toss-up.
I think my Louisville fans are going to be really upset at me in just a second.
I'm going Louisville because they're honoring Lamar Jackson at that game.
Oh, I forgot about that.
They're retiring.
I forgot about that.
They're retiring number 8 on Saturday. So
will he be there? Is he going to fly in and fly back out?
He's going to be there because they play on Thursday night. That's why they picked this week. So, yep, I go with Cards.
That's the only reason I'm picking Louisville.
I'm going to go with Syracuse. Coach Babers.
Really, truly, if it wasn't for the Lamar thing.
If it wasn't for Lamar, I think I'd be picking Syracuse. But I think the fact that he's going to be there, I think Malik's going to want to show out for his guy. His mentor.
If he's healthy,
that's true. Miami and Florida. Let's say that one for last. I'm not gonna let you get in there yet with that, Charlie. We'll say that one for last. I didn't realize it snuck up on me that fast. Okay. NC State, Wake Forest. This is a big one. This is a massive game.
This is a toss up.
NC State can play defense.
I'm kind of leaning towards NC State in this.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with NC State.
Yeah.
I'm with Charlie. I'm gonna go with NC State on this one.
I think we're all going that way because NC State can. I think they have what it takes to stop Wake Forest.
I think
Sam Hartman might be in trouble this game.
I don't know.
What about Duke and Virginia Tech?
Glad I'm not watching it.
Oh.
I'm going to go to the home team.
Yeah, I will too.
Just because it's the home team, though.
All I will say is thank God for basketball. Let's move on. Notre Dame and Virginia.
Ooh, that should be a good one. That's interesting.
That should be a good one. I like Notre Dame, though. They seem to have found some stride, you know, here lately.
Yeah,
I think I'm going Notre Dame, too. I think Virginia's going to put some points on the board. I'm not 100% sure Notre Dame can score with them, but I think Notre Dame's defense can get the stops when they need them, so I'm going with Notre Dame.
I'm very frustrated by these games this week because they're not giving me an opportunity to make up any ground, but I'm going Notre Dame. I can go Virginia, but it doesn't seem like that's the right way to go, so I'm going Notre Dame.
Virginia's defense is not very good either.
Right. That's also I can't bet on. I'm going Notre Dame. Now, here's the game that's confusing all the way. Boston College, Georgia Tech.
I'm going to go.
But it's at Georgia Tech.
I'm going to go to the home team. Georgia Tech.
Ah, Charlie.
Trying to get themselves. They played a solid game against Miami on the road. And Boston College, of course, they played okay at home.
Yep.
But,
Kevin, what are you doing?
I'm going with Georgia Tech.
Okay.
Georgia Tech is so confusing.
They are.
I know what I'm getting from Boston College, which is why I'm leaning towards Georgia Tech because I know what I'm getting from Boston College. But I just don't know what Georgia Tech. I'm going with the home team. I'll go with Georgia Tech.
All right. If I'm going to make up any ground, it's got to be here. So I'm going Boston College. I got to go Boston College.
Honestly, it's not a bad pick.
It's not a bad pick. That's what I'm saying.
I just don't know what Georgia Tech team's going to show up.
All right, now you can chop away, Charlie. Miami versus Florida State. And you are duty bound, according to your Heisman, to pick Florida State.
I believe in my team.
That is awesome.
They have a chance each and every week to win the games. We got to make sure that we tackle when we're supposed to tackle the guy again. We let guys go. And they scoring touchdowns. I'm just concerned about our offense. If Jordan is back, then I think we'll be much better in the run game. But Mackenzie Milton last week, passing game wise, some of the throws he made were pretty special. But he just can't get out of the way. You know, if there's a rush. He just can't get out of the way.
Right.
But some of the throws he made were pretty good. Meaning, you know, guys, when he threw the ball, guys wouldn't even turn around. And then he threw one in the back of the end zone. Just, you know, where he threw it up and Keyshawn Hilton went over and caught it, you know, got his feet down. But if Jordan Travis is playing, I think it gives us a chance to, you know, have more in the run game. And then defensively, we got to figure out how we're going to stop the passing game or Miami in general. But, of course, I'm going with Seminoles.
Awesome. And I appreciate the loyalty and the detailed explanation that you provided here for all of us here tonight. Having said that, I'm going with Miami.
I'm with Lloyd. Miami's the hot team, even though I'm not totally sold on how hot they really are.
Right.
But there's so many question marks with Florida State, like Charlie just brought up. Who's going to play quarterback? We don't know. Yes. Miami doesn't. Whoever plays quarterback, Miami has the better quarterback. I do think Florida State's run game is going to be dominant. They have to be dominant in that game. But I think I have to go with the U on this one.
Yeah. Want to give – that's our picks for the week. Our final thoughts and shout-outs. I got to give a shout-out, first of all, for Mama Noise. She wanted to give a shout-out to your shirt. she is filling your shirt, Kendrick. And for those you don't see it, it's the old Outkast reference. Me and you, your mama, and your cousin, too. So that is one of my favorite songs from Outkast. So
hopefully the company that I got this shirt from a sponsor soon enough.
That's all I'm saying. What are they waiting on? I don't understand. So that's one shout-out for Mama Noise. My personal shout-outs, I have two. One, I got to shout out Teddy Bridgewater, and then also got to shout out Javonte Williams. Why? Because they monkey stomped the Dallas Cowboys in Jerry World. Shout out to the ACC. God bless you two gentlemen. I love you to death.
Yeah, he almost made me cuss on his free airway.
Don't need to cuss. No, all jokes aside, both of them played phenomenally well.
Teddy played
in that
great
game. I got to give him a lot of props.
Teddy played great. Dallas was feeling themselves a little bit too much. And it was just a weird Sunday in the NFL yesterday.
It was. There was some. Listen, that Jacksonville Bills game was one of the most bizarre I've ever seen in my life. And the fact that Josh Allen was beaten by Josh Allen was like a scene from the Twilight Zone.
Shout out to Jacksonville Josh Allen.
Shout out to the Jacksonville Josh Allen who played the game of his life. I was like, who are you?
Quietly, Josh Allen's been playing like that all year since he plays for Jacksonville.
Yeah, he's playing for Jacksonville. Nobody knew he even existed until.
Of course, I know he did because he's a former Kentucky Wildcat. Of course, his sister.
Oh, that's right.
And his sister is Myesha Hines Allen that used to play at U of L. So.
You know what's funny? The whole time I'm watching Josh Allen, I'm thinking, where do I know you from? I know you from somewhere. And it never dawned on me. That's the kid from Kentucky. So there you go. All right. Kendrick, Charlie, who do you have shout outs for?
I'll let Charlie go first.
For my shout out, of course, is going to be at home. That's for the Lady Seminoles who won the ACC Soccer Championship on Sunday.
Yes, they did.
Number one team, though they're number two, they beat the number one team in the ACC Championship on Sunday 1-0. And they score that lady, I forgot her name, but the kick she made to make the goal, the first score, the only score, was truly amazing.
Awesome.
I love Charlie Shine.
I do too. That's our guy. Always everywhere.
Go Noles.
Go Noles. Chop it up.
Well, for another week, I got to give a shout out to Danny Buscombe Kelly, University of Louisville, the only undefeated team in the country and the new number one team in the country. First time in the program this
year. Wow. Best so Texas is who we thought they were.
But I mean, Louisville went to North Carolina, won 3-1 over on Sunday, and they remain undefeated, and they're the only undefeated team in the country. So there you go.
We may have to have her back on the show, because I'll be honest with you, I really want to know how she's going to keep them focused and not. Does it work that way with girls where it seems like girls are able to stay focused in the moment longer than guys are. Like guys, they start reading the press clippings and the next thing they're getting their behinds handed to them. Whereas girls, it seems like
like my Cowboys yesterday.
Well, not even just the Cowboys, like the Bills. Like people were saying, the Bills, they're the best team in the AFC. And you saw what happened with them. The Rams last night. The Rams, they're the best team in the NFC. And then, they get stomped out last night. So I just think sometimes it's so hard not to believe your own hype. So I don't know. I'm curious to see how she's going to pull that off.
It's just because of the way they play. They play so loose all the time. Like, we were talking about it last week, how they're laughing and smiling. When they're making mistakes. And so when you're that loose, I don't think you really have to worry about, press clippings and stuff like that, because they just go out there and play.
Yeah, they just go out there and play. But they know they can win, though. They know they're in every game and they're not afraid. So shout out to them. These are some great shout outs this week. And again, Javonte and Teddy, great job. Proud of you guys. Keep up the good work.
You ain't worth two dead flies.
Oh, yes, I am. I'm worth a lot of dead flies.
What are you, 2-7? Is that what your record is?
No, we are not.
3-6.
Listen, don't be mad.
With a loss to America's team already on your...
Wow, you kicked the wounded animal. Congratulations on your victory.
I want to hear. You took the field. You played the game.
We took the field. You're right. We'll be taking the field again. We'll see you soon.
Oh, yeah. Like, I'm worried about that.
You should be.
by that point, Dallas was already close to the finish.
Oh, you hear this, Charlie? You hear this?
I'm saying that Dallas is great. The division is so bad.
It is bad. But we're going to be back. We got a good schedule going down the road. So I think we're going to be okay. Marco, don't do that. Don't do that. You're a Bears fan. Don't do that. No, he's a 49er fan. It's even worse.
Oh.
Yeah, don't do that. All right. Appreciate all of you guys. Have a great weekend or week and weekend. It should be a fun. College football is so fun right now. I'm enjoying it as much as I've ever enjoyed college football. I'll be honest with you. Although I'm really up to Marco, ooh, such language. Boy, that escalated quickly.
That's what I was thinking too, Marco.
Yeah. college football has been great, although I do not agree that Oregon should be anywhere near a playoff right now. I'm sorry, but they just shouldn't. But that's a whole nother conversation for another day. I don't know. Is that all I got? Charlie, you got anything before I close this thing out?
Why?
Because you might have something else you want to say.
No, why don't you think Oregon shouldn't be in the playoffs?
Because they're not. If I'm being honest with you,
they got the best win out of everybody.
You know who has a better set of wins than Oregon? Purdue. And if Purdue somehow pulls off this win this weekend against Ohio State, I'd put Purdue in before I put Oregon in.
But Purdue got three losses.
Oregon, and they also beat three. They will have also beaten three top five teams. That's something the other three playoff teams can't say.
That's why I was saying, out of the top four teams, Oregon has the best win.
Yeah.
Has Purdue played all these teams at home?
No, they beat Iowa at Iowa.
And if they beat Ohio State on the road,
Iowa is come on.
Well, I mean, they turned out to be Iowa,
yeah. But at the time, they were number two in the nation.
Yeah,
number two. And Michigan State was number three.
It was at home, but it was impressive.
Yeah, it was impressive.
It wasn't even close. They blew them out.
Glad you were able to make it too, Marco. Appreciate you, buddy. All right, we're out of here. We had to get that out of our system, so I feel better now. Chop it up, Charlie. Chop it up. We'll see y'all next week.
Who knows?
You've been listening to Believe in the ACC with Charlie Ward, Lloyd Spence, and Kendrick Haskins. Please like, follow, subscribe, and share from the Noisemakers page on Facebook and on YouTube. And you can also listen to us on Spotify, Apple Music, iTunes, and wherever podcasts can be heard. And join us